It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Jackson Takacs. Jackson is chief economist, head of strategy, research and analysis, and you might as well throw a few more things into the title there for Farmer Mac. Great to see you.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with me. Yeah, we cover a lot of ground in that strategy and research group, and that gives us a lot of flexibility to talk about a wide range of issues.
So, first off, let's back up. Farmer Mac. Who is Farmer Mac?
Well, so Farmer Mac is a secondary market for ag real estate as well as rural infrastructure financing. Really what that means is we don't make loans directly to farmers and ranchers. We're in the background. We're working with lenders like ag banks or farm credit system institutions, insurance companies, to give them more options to offer through to farmers and ranchers. And the real benefit to the farmers and ranchers, they get competitive interest rate financing, a lot of different products. We see a lot of interest in our 30-year fixed rate financing. That looks pretty attractive today. If you think about where interest rates have gone, hey, if I've locked in my interest rate risk at 4.5%, I don't care where interest rates go, right? Because I've already locked that in for 30 years. So that's where Farmer Mac is, and we spend a lot of time working with ag bankers all across the country.
So now let's back up for Jackson and your road to Farmer Mac. Did it start maybe in Kentucky?
It sure did. Yeah, I spent a lot of time throwing around bales of hay and cutting tobacco and doing a lot of things that sort of rural and farm kids do. And I found my way to Washington after studying economics. And, you know, I found this job at Farmer Mac in 2005. And it was just a great marriage of sort of my background and history and interests and how it could be applied to helping farmers and ranchers nationwide to get better access to that capital.
So maybe that tees us right up to a survey that was released today. Tell us more about that.
Well, so it's the Ag Lender Survey. It's put out, it's joint research between the ABA research team and the Farmer Mac research team. We do it every year in August. We survey thousands of ag bankers and say, hey, what's going on in your neck of the woods? What are you seeing from your borrowers? What are you seeing at your banks? And we try to get a lot of targeted intelligence about the farm economy, lending conditions, and then it could be policies that are changing and what are going to impact those lenders, because it's a critical component of, you know, really capitalizing rural America is going to be that interaction between the farmers, the ranchers, and the lenders. And we want to capture everything that's happening there. We use that Ag Lender Survey to do it.
So can you break some of that down for us? Go a little deeper. What are we seeing?
Well, I think, you know, if you focus on the farm economy first, that's a big set of our questions is what's happening. Where are you seeing profitability increase, decrease? Where is it increasing or decreasing? What industries? And what we found in 21 and 22, so both years of survey results, was an improving agricultural economy. Higher commodity prices doesn't hurt. You've also got, you know, rising land values and some inflationary pressures coming in to the cost side that's really creating some concern. So an improvement in the farm economy overall, profitability improving largely across different types of farming businesses and entities, but a little bit of concern on the sort of horizon about how rising prices and inflation is going to bite into those profits next year.
Well, you mentioned interest, so interest rates and obviously inflation working its way in there as well. What do you see coming up over the, I mean, can we project 12, 18 months?
Well, if you ask the lenders, right, so that's what we were doing in the survey, saying, what do you guys see happening in the next 12 months? And most lenders agree we're going to see a continuing increase in the general level of interest rates. And that was actually the number one concern for most lenders who responded to us, was that interest rate volatility and what that does for loan demand and what that does for potential credit quality issues. So things like delinquencies and charge-offs, and will higher interest rates lead to repayment capacity problems. So that's top of lenders' minds is, hey, there's a lot more volatility in interest rates than there used to be, and it's in a direction that's different than we're used to. It used to be, oh, it was always coming down, right? That was the volatility, was it was going to go lower, and now the volatility is it's going to go higher. And there's just general concern about what that does to loan demand and how it impacts farmers' ability to repay. Looking historically, you know, this is not the first time we've seen rising interest expense on the farm. It's happened a couple of times. Generally speaking, we're in a pretty good position. So farmer, the sector as a whole can handle higher interest rates, and a lot have taken advantage of long-term fixed rates in the last few years. So it was a record refi boom the last couple of years. So, you know, the farm balance sheet's in pretty good shape heading into this. But there's always going to be that concern about, hey, if rates rise too fast, what is that going to do to debt repayment?
So if we look at the housing market first, and the reason I bring that up is I've heard economists talk about how rising interest rates now means less for your house. Obviously, that's not a big concern in the ag community, but can we take that and apply that same principle?
Yeah, there are certainly some parallels, right? So anytime you raise interest costs for someone who's looking to do a refinance all of a sudden, maybe the economics don't work, right? So there's a limited ability in a rising interest rate environment to lower your costs. That also means if you're trying to buy a house or a farm, your level of expenses now increase. So what you're going to have to pay to service that debt is going to be higher. And so that may change what you're willing to pay. So if you look at the housing market, it hits like pretty quick because there's so much more transactions. There's more people in houses who buy and sell. There's just a lot of activity. So you start to see those influences take hold a lot faster. But in farming, so few farms come up and supply is so constrained that it just takes a lot longer for those interest rate hikes to sort of work their way through to land values. Great research piece out of Iowa State. Some researchers said, hey, how long does it take for monetary policy to impact land values, particularly in the Midwest? And on average, it was about 3 to 4 years, right? So it takes some time for those interest rates to work their way in and to change what people are willing to pay for those farms.
So covered a lot of ground here. And as I kind of think about what you're saying, I'm wondering, does this put pressure on young farmers and ranchers trying to get into the business or trying to stay in the business?
Yeah, there's certainly a lot of hurdles, right? So if, even before we, you know, rewind the clock to 2020-21, there were still a lot of hurdles for any farmer trying to get into the business just because it's so capital intensive. So certainly the increasing cost of capital is going to be an increasing challenge. And then you've got to manage all these rising prices. But one thing I know about farmers and ranchers, even the small beginning ones, they fight for, you know, what they want to do, and they're going to persevere through some of these challenges. And I have absolute, you know, confidence in a lot of these beginning small farmers and even the old existing farmers. So you could be around for a while. We're going to see some of these challenges and we're going to navigate them. This is a group that knows how to take a challenge and spin it around and track it and really start to manage some of those risks. And so while the risks are there, I'm pretty confident in our ability as a group, as a sector, to see through those challenges and still make money. There's still going to be producers who make money even in a tighter profitability year. And 2023 should still be pretty good. We're still seeing good commodity prices. So that's the good news for all those small beginning farmers out there, is like at least the revenue is going to hold steady. So we've really just got to manage some of those costs, and we're going to see through that.
Okay. We want to find out more about Farmer Mac and what you do. Can we do that online?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a great website, www.farmermac.com. We also put out a great research piece mostly every quarter. It kind of follows the seasons, called The Feed. And you can read all about what we're researching internally and how it relates to both farmers and ranchers and lenders.
Great to see you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Again, from the 70th ABA Ag Bankers Conference in Omaha, I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.